Good morning. Welcome to the results conference of Visa and its companies for the second quarter of this year. We are here with us today, our Chief Executive Officer, Juan Emilio Posada, Carolina Botero, Chief Corporate Finance Officer, Cesar Ramírez, Chief Energy Transport Officer, Olga Patricia Castaño, Chief Strategy Officer, and Eduardo Larrabe, Deputy Chief Roads Concession Officer. My name is Diana Cardona, Investor Relations Officer. At the end of the event, we're going to have time to answer any questions you may have. You can ask the questions to the chat box that is at the right part of your screen. Please write your name, the corporation or company you're representing, and Virginia is the person that's going to help us with the presentation. Let's go, Virginia, to the next slide, please. So we welcome right now Juan Emilio Posada. Juan Emilio is a business administrator from AFIT University. He has an MBA in international business from Pace University in New York, and he studied postgraduate studies in financial international law in the London School of Economics. He has a wide experience in international experience in the energy, infrastructure, telecommunications, and transport sector. In the energy sector, as member of the board director of Ecopetrol, he was part of the 2040 strategy for that group to face with success the challenges of the energy transition. He also participated of the analysis and decision of big part of the stake of Visa. He has obtained experience in infrastructure as member of the board of directors of the Financiera de Desarrollo Nacional and the DINSA Group, and has a structure of different calls for roads and airports. In the transport sector, he was the chief executive officer for Avianca and Access. As an entrepreneurship, he created Viva Air, changing the aeronautics sector by introducing the low-cost model in Colombia. He has contributed actively to the management of international organization, non-profit Hasplan International. In ISA, we're very happy of having with a leader of his professional expertise and his human skills. Juan Emilio receives, you're more than welcome once again to these quarter results. Virginia, let's go to the next slide, please. Thanks a lot, Diana. ISA works nonstop for the strengthening of the territory, the protection of the environment, and the construction of the social tissue. Besides being profitable and competitive, ISA is very solid in the compliance with its commitment with the stakeholders, connecting to the sustainable development goals. ISA is a company with a vision of contributing to the change that the world needs to the objective of generating sustainable value in everything it does. It's a company in which we innovate and we support on the new technologies to improve the quality of life of society in the countries that we operate. And the more I get to know ISA, the more I admire his talent and the more I aim at the superior objective of the Strategy 2030. Virginia, let's go to the next slide, please. The results that we're going to share with you today ratify ISA as a big, important alternative investment. Our results are solid and growing. Overpassing our goals, we closed the quarter with an increase of two digits in the main financial indicators, and among them we have a growth on the net profit of 14.4% compared to the second quarter last year. We consolidated a leadership in the energy transition with investment of more than $840 million. Represented in the two projects that are entering into operation during the quarter, plus the two that we obtain in Brazil and that are par over CapEx. The total of CapEx for the next 5 years is more than 18 trillion Colombian pesos, exceeding a 43% what plan at the beginning of the year. Our higher purpose is to create sustainable value, and that purpose goes beyond profitability of the investments because the idea is to generate an environmental and social impact that is positive in other territories. In that regard, recently we were awarded as the third company with the best investment, social investment strategy. Virginia, please, let's go to the next slide to start with the investment of the quarter. During the second quarter, our investment amounted to 846 billion Colombian pesos, and the accumulated is more than 1.6 billion pesos. During the quarter, big of the investment were concentrated in Brazil, where ISA-CETEPE continued working and improving the transmission grid with the installation of the battery bank and the construction of projects of water in former coals. In Colombia, we advanced in the construction of different UPNets. Among them, we have the Cerro Matoso project, Chino Copey, and the Proyecto Copey Cuestecitas Fundación, since it improves the reliability of the service in the Caribbean coast of Colombia and the connection with renewable sources of energy, non-conventional projects from the Department of La Guajira in Colombia. In Chile, we invested in the expansion of ISA Interchile in the construction of LOA roads and improvement works for safety on road that would increase the extension of the concession. And in Peru, we advanced in the construction of the projects Coya, Maya, and Chichanasca. Today, we have 33 energy transmission projects in execution that represent more than 4,900 kilometers of circuit, and they will generate an approximate income for $350 million once they enter into operation. In addition, we're very satisfied, and it's very important, the fact that from these, we have nine projects that help connect the non-conventional renewable energies for helping with that energy transition. Virginia, let's go to the next slide, please. I want to talk about two projects that enter into operation during this quarter in Brazil and that contribute to the transition towards a low-carbon economy. The first one is Tres Lagoas, which has started operation with more than 1 year in advance before its due date, and its objective is to connect the generation of renewable sources of energy, solar and biomass, to the northeast of São Paulo region. This project has 37 kilometers of lines, and it represented an investment of $21 million. And the second project that I want to talk about is the Aimorés interconnection that is located in the Minas Gerais state, and it was built by Taesa and ISA-CETEPE. It's about an energy transmission line of 208 kilometers and the substations related to this line. The investment was $83 million, and the annual revenues is of $17 million. This is a fundamental and paramount project to take energy from renewable sources from the northeast to the southeast of the country, the region of the highest consumption of energy in Brazil, and increasing the reliability and energy security of that country. Virginia, let's go please to the next slide. We close the second quarter with two important accomplishments. ISA Zetepa was awarded two of the three projects for which it presented offer in Brazil. The expected investment is $780 million with an annual revenues of $60 million. The third block will require an investment of $730 million, and this is located in the states of Minas Gerais and Espírito Santo, and it will transport renewable sources of energy through its 1,139 kilometers of line. Also, the other lot number six, that would request $50 million investment. It's about the construction of a new Jar of Agua Sul substation in the São Paulo state. This project will be financed by ISA Zetepe, and we expect that generate EBITDA margin higher than 90%, thanks to the operational synergies with existing assets. Finally, in this field, we're very happy to share with you that thanks to these last two projects, in the first quarter of this year, we reached investment commitments by $852 million. Overcoming well in advance the goal for the year of $700 million. Let's go, Virginia, to the next slide, please. The Portão del Sol connection and the installation of SAC compensation devices are two projects awarded to ILSA that, even though are of small size, they represent a big importance in the energy transition in Colombia. The Portão del Sol connection would integrate a generation plant with a capacity of 100 megawatts to our Pugno substation. This project has an important strategic value for ISA because it contributed to keep our corporate validity. As a matter of fact, we estimate that the connections market in Colombia to the renewable sources of energy will reach the $400 million by 2040. Also, Transelca will build fax compensation devices in Colombia. These consist in the implementation of advanced technology for the control of energy fluxes in the return nation. The project allows the restriction of the capacity in the entry of new sources of energy to the national grid. This group of projects is 100% aligned with our commitment of promoting the expansion of the use of renewable sources of energy and warranting the transmission of energy in a safety and reliable way to the population. Virginia, can we go please to the next slide? Our committed investment for the upcoming years is more than 18.3 billion Colombian pesos, a 43% higher than what we expected at this year. Close to 56% would be executed in Brazil, where we include the reinforcement and improvement of the Zetepe grid, the installation of the battery banks, and the construction of transmission projects included in the lots of water. Of course, 20% will be invested in Colombia for the construction of UPNEPs and connection projects to renewable sources of energy. In Chile, A 14% will be executed with incorporation of the contribution to the IMAL Lo Aguirre project, CAPEX for the construction of Ruta del Loa, and regulation safety works and the lanes. And the 10%, remaining 10%, will be executed in Peru in the Cuya, Llana Ancha, Chanasca. These investment opportunities were already awarded to ISA and to all its companies, and it gave us a 71% progress in the investment goal by 2030 of $12.5 trillion for 2019-2030 period. For the coming 12 months, we have identified a growth opportunities in the region that is close to $6,400 million. With the success rates that we have accomplished in former years, we feel very positive that we'll continue investment in the pace that we've been doing it until accomplishment the ISA 2030 goal. Well, Virginia, let's go to the next slide, please. Now, let's talk about the important topic of sustainability. We obtain important milestone in this quarter. In our program Conexiones para el Desarrollo, we work with the DNLD, the Foundation Barco, and seven municipalities of Atlantic Bolivar in Colombia in the roadmap for the sustainable development by 2041. A territory with the capacity to dream was the starting point that this aim started for the transformation of this area, where stakeholders for all the different territories contributed to the construction or the development agenda for the next 20 years. Also, in ISA, innovation is the most important thing for changing society, and that's why during this quarter we finished introducing the Rockstar program to leverage the economic reactivation through the acceleration of 10 startups with a positive environmental impact. At the end of the program, we generated an investment round with possibility of financing close to $1 million. On the other side, we're very happy to tell you that ISA participated in the measurement of the Social Private Investment Index, being the third as part of the 151 biggest company in the country. Lastly, in the celebration of the Earth Day, we planted more than 7,300 trees of different species, some of them threatened. More than 6 hectares, and that's going to absorb more than 800 tons of carbon per year. Let's go, Virginia, to the next slide. With the purpose of integrating ISA to a co-patrol group, we advance in the implementation of the synergies identified that we announced in former conferences. About that, we highlighted the following. In the growth, we continue the continued effort in the identification in new business of energy, as well as the definition of mechanisms that allows to consolidate the entering of ISA into the United States market. From the financial point of view, we continue capturing efficiency in the investment in terms of liquidity, cost to the management of insurance, optimization on the rates, tax rates, among others. In carbon neutrality, our Conexión Jaguar program, it will go beyond what it was established by the 2030 goal to contribute in the compensation of the Ecopetrol. Continue with the generation value through knowledge. One of the more important synergies has been the possibility to contribute from ISA to reduce the electric failures in the main oil production fields, generating important savings for the capital goods. In addition, in this front, we include new projects of renewable sources of energy and the storage of energy to contribute in the connection of those into the national grid. I close by presenting my greetings and to sharing that the more I get to know Isa, the more I like its people, and I'm convinced that its strategy is suitable, and I feel very proud of this big, important company. So now I'd like to give the word to Carolina, who would present the financial results. Go ahead, Carolina. Juan Emilio, thanks a lot, and thanks for your beautiful words. We are very happy that you are today with this forum as our CEO, and very happy as always of talking to you. Let's go, Virginia, to the next slide to get into details about the financial results of the quarter. For the second quarter of 2022, the operational revenues reached 3.3 trillion Colombian pesos, 14.5% higher than in the same period in 2021. But before getting into the performance of those revenues, it's important to remember that in June 2021, we tagged to the PNG 333 million pesos in income because of the non-recurring event related to the acknowledgement of the index to the capital cost of the years 2017 to 2020 of the assets of the basic grid, as is called RBCA in Isa Zetepe. So now, without taking into account these effects, the operational revenues increase a 28.2%. As you know, the operational revenues are comprised by operation revenues and construction revenues. Let's start to detail that behavior of the first one. So the operations added 2.6 billion pesos that correspond to 11.7% more than for the same period last year. Let's look by business lines, what better explain this variation. Let's start with energy transmission. First, to highlight the enter into operation of the projects after the second quarter of 2021 in all the countries where we have operations. In addition, and by geographies, we have other factors that explain the growth of these revenues. In Brazil, we observe a positive effect of more than 400 billion pesos due to higher IPCA and EGPM. Both inflationary indexes that, remember, indexes are revenues of our operations in this country. Also, we add an increase in the revenues due to operations and maintenance services, also a higher performance of the contractual assets and the receivables of the RBCA. And on the other hand, it's important to highlight that this year we didn't see the non-recurrent revenues by 300,000 billion pesos that were in July of 2021. So now let's go to Colombia, where we received higher revenues by 108 million pesos. And this is due to the enter on exploration of the UPME Interconnections North Occidental after the second quarter of the 2021. And also we add the favorable effect of the macroeconomic variables EPP and TRM. Let's talk about Peru, where we registered higher income by 41 billion pesos by the increase in the revenues that comes from the energy transmission contracts due to the updating of prices by the favorable effect of the exchange rate from USD to pesos in the consolidated financial statements. And in Chile, we have higher income revenues by 16,000 million pesos because of the inter-operational projects and the effect in the revenues by the macroeconomic variables IPP and IPC. So now let's talk about the road business and continue in the operation revenues. There was an increase of 11% because of higher performance on the financial assets and revenues related to the operation and maintenance in the road concessions that we have. Let's go now to construction revenues. These increased a 26.2%, and these variation explained because of a higher activity of construction in Brazil and in the road concessions in Chile. Also, by less construction activity in Peru and in Colombia, where Ruta Costero, as you know, entered already in operation. For the accumulated of the year, the operational revenues reached 6 trillion Colombian pesos, which is a 15.6% more than in 2021. And this is explained because of the energy transmission business that obtained revenues for 800,000 billion Colombian pesos. That represents a 20.3% more than in 2021. Explained because of the reasons of the quarter. Virginia, let's go to the next slide, please. In this quarter, EBITDA reached 2.2 trillion Colombian pesos, what represented an increase of 10.1% compared to the same period last year. Also, the EBITDA margin moves from the 71.1% to the 68.4%, and excluding construction from 84.5% to 84.6%. The reasons for this increase are explained because of the dynamics explained in the revenues added by the behavior of the operational costs, which reached 1.2 billion, a 30.4% more than for the same period, 2021. As we know, operational costs are comprised by construction cost plus administration cost, operation cost, maintenance cost that we call OM. Let's start with the detail of the first one. So the construction costs registered an increase of the 36.9% due, as we mentioned before, the higher constructing activity in Brazil and in Chile, compensated in part by a less activity in Peru and Colombia. Also, the AOM, it was 580 billion Colombian pesos, a 24% more than in the second quarter of 2021. In this point, it's important to highlight that this growth of the AOM expenses are below the increase of the operational revenues that are increased a 29% without taking into account the non-recurrent events in Brazil that we already mentioned and that were registered in June 2021. AOM expenses were led by a higher inflation in Brazil, in Colombia, and in Chile, and because of the entering into operation of new projects after the second quarter of 2021. The next item that has started being part of the EBITDA in order to homologate the calculation with the capital group is the results of the companies where ISA has a joint control and important impact. These results that we call co-control added at 177 billion Colombian pesos and were 31% higher than for the second quarter of 2021. This is mainly because of higher margins in construction of Aymoret's project that Juan Emilio mentioned before, and that ended its construction stage in this quarter. In the accumulated, EBITDA increased 13.1%, reaching 4.2 trillion Colombian pesos. The EBITDA margin closed in 69.6%, and one is not taking into account the construction effect in an 84.1%. Virginia, let's go to the next slide, please, to talk about our income, net income. The net income for the second quarter was higher than 670 million Colombian pesos, with an increase of the 14.4% recording the same quarter for 2021. Let's look into detail what we are observing in the graph. When we compare the net income the second 2021 to the same period for 2021, the components that contribute the most to this increase are, first of all, the operating income because of the entry into operation of projects after the second quarter of the 2021, and the behavior of the price index, where our incomes are indexes. This ratifies the solid behavior at the operating level of ISSSTE and its companies. Secondly, we have a reduction of the 76% of the income tax, and this is explained because of the application of a less tax in ISSSTE TEPI and its companies in Brazil that it will be declared on the exercise, and it impacts the favorable impact of the juros de capital. Let us remember that the juros de capital, it's an existing in Brazil to pay shareholders and is deducted for SETEPI. It's going to allow us to have an effective rate during the year and at the consolidated level of ISSSTE and the Ecopetrol Group. On the other hand, the component that takes less is the net financial expenses, where it grows of 58% compared to 2021, which is 258 billion Colombian pesos. That we can't see it in two parts. The first one is a higher interest by 236 million pesos for a higher debt obtained to finance the growth of ISSSTE and its companies, added to a higher inflation. And secondly, we have a higher expense because of the different exchange rate by 33 billion Colombian pesos, because of the high inflation in Chile that is translated in a higher UF, which is fomenting units, variable that its debt is indexed in the road concessions in that country. And because of the resources that we keep in dollars in Chile to the investment, future investments that we are doing in energy projects that were awarded already. At the end of the quarter, we closed with a net income of 21% and a ROE of 11.1%. These ROE of two digits, it's higher in a 18.1%, the ROE that we had estimated for this project for this period. Now, for the close of June 2022, we expected a net income of 795 billion Colombian pesos. That represents a decrease of 27.2% compared to the real accumulated net income June 2021. We expected that because of the events that we have already mentioned that were not going to be repeated in the 2022. However, thanks to the excellent behavior of the revenues that we already explained in detail, and the harmonization of the effective rate in Brazil, also mentioned before, we were able to finish with a net income of 1.1 trillion pesos, which includes a growth of 0.7% compared to the same period last year, and 38.5% higher of what is expected, or what is in the budget. The net margin was the 18.3%. So now that we know the behavior of the net income in this first part of the year, I would like to update your expectation for the close of 2022. What respect to what we presented in the fourth quarter last year, Virginia? Let's go to this next slide, please, for the good news, please. Let us remember that at the beginning of this year, when we presented the closing results of the 2021, we anticipated that the net income for 2022 was going to increase between a 7 and an 11% when we compared it to the 2021. We call that the basic scenario. Let us remember also that we listed some factors that it would happen, it would be translated and boosting a lot more this result. Those factors are the ones that we can see in the slide on the right part. So now that 6 months have passed of this year, what we found? We found that inflation, where we have presence, are continuing and even are higher of what we expected. What you can foresee that has a positive impact in our revenues, mainly the IPC and EGPM and the IPP in Colombia. On the other part, our discipline and commitment with efficient management of operational expenses, even in the growth scenario that ISA is today. These efficiencies reflected in a growth of administration expenses, operation and maintenance below of the income, as we mentioned. All this allows us to let you know and give you good news, and is that if the behavior continues as the one that we have at the end of the first quarter, and if we do not have any extraordinary event that we don't see it today, we expect that our net income will be increased between 11% and 18% when we compare it to the end of 2021. Complying then with our strategic objective of generating value to our shareholders in a growth fashion and sustainable fashion through time. Virginia, let's go to the next slide, please. It's important to highlight that ISA and its company has a strong cash generation. In this year, we started with initial consolidated of 4.7 billion Colombian pesos, and we closed June with a margin of variation. During the quarter, we generated cash flow of the operation by 4.3 trillion Colombian pesos. We received 232 billion dividends of co-controlled companies and loans for 3.3 trillion Colombian pesos. These resources generated were used mainly to the following: 4.8 trillion pay capital interest of the debt, 1.6 trillion in OpEx and other payments of the operation, 1.6 trillion in CapEx, 635 billion in taxes, and 143 billion for dividend payments to shareholders. The quarter then ends with a solid position of cash of 4.8 trillion Colombian pesos that allows us to continue financing our operation, our investments, and comply with the debt for the rest of the year. Virginia, let's go to the next slide, please. To June, the financial debt consolidated increased to 29 trillion Colombian pesos, an increase of the 3.2% compared to the close of 2021. This variation is explained mainly by the conversion effect that was higher than 1 trillion pesos due to the depreciation of the peso against the dollar, the UFC, the Chilean pesos, and the UFR, and the appreciation regarding the real. currency. If this affects the debt to June of 2021 would have decreased compared against the value of the closing of the 2021 year because the net transaction of the debt were negative. This means that there were a lot more debt amortization than new debt. Other important things during this year have to be with a net indebtedness for more than 360 billion pesos in ISA SETEP and its companies that have issued bonds and have obtained bank debt during the year for investment in projects and improvement to the electric system. Also in Chile, there's been a reduction of net indebtedness in more than 370 billion Colombian pesos due to the prepay of debt of the road concessions in this country. Also, in Colombia, we observe a reduction of more than 141 billion Colombian pesos, explained by the total payment of bonds of the eighth tranche and the amortization of loans by Ruta Costera. In this regard, the debt over EBITDA indicator is 4.1 times, reflecting suitable levels to maintain the rating and space to continue leveraging our strategy ISA 2030. So now I would like to give the mic again to Diana to start with a Q&A session. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Carolina and Juan Emilio. So now we're going to open for Q&A. First of all, I have two questions that comes from Andres Duarte from Coffee Colombiana. He would like to be reminded about the restriction on net participation in generation in Colombia applies to other countries where we have presence, Chile, Peru, Brazil. And the second question is, if taking into account the two lots that we obtained in Brazil, to remind him if there are differences in these revenues compared to the other bids that we have been awarded. Diana, thanks a lot, and Cesar, thanks for the two questions. We are here with Cesar Ramirez, Chief Energy Transport Officer, and he would give you a better answer. Cesar, go ahead. Thanks a lot, Juan Emilio, and thanks for the questions. So, regarding to the restrictions of generation, Andres. That restriction only applies in Colombia and in Chile, since are similar regulations regarding to that type of other stakeholders of the chain to participate in different activities compared to transmission. But in Brazil and Peru, it's possible that ISA develop those activities. However, it has to be approved before certain entities in Peru and in Brazil. Peru Proinversión and Brazil Budimex, especially to be careful with what they call the modicidad tarifaria, which is another type of activities that are with the platforms related to concessions, that they have to share those profit. So it's possible to do it with another type of investment vehicle, but there are not explicit restriction on that regard. So I think that Andres answers the first question. And regarding the second question about the last awarding projects what you obtained in Brazil, the model is exactly the same that we've been using or applying. There are not changes regarding to those models for licitations. There are greenfield projects. There are projects to offer that is called in Brazil a REP, which is a researcher and your Provincia, and is a value that is updated annually by the APCA, and in the concession is 30 years, including the construction period. So in summary, it's the same model that we've been practicing, and not different to the one that we have in the other countries, where it's the offers are based in an annual revenue. So I hope I have answered your question, and if it's not through the established means, I could actually go into more detail about this regard. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Cesar. The next question comes from Rodrigo Sanchez. He says that he would like to know a little bit more about how do we think to finance the investment plan for 2022 and 2023. Thanks, Diana, and thanks, Rodrigo, for your question. I will ask Carolina to answer that question, please. Thanks a lot, Juan Emilio. Thanks for the excellent question that you asked, Rodrigo. The answer is, has been doing it, supported in an excellent financial health, in a generation of cash together with the financial market, who are our big allies to leverage our growth. We believe that are the best tools that we have to support the growth of strategy of these and its companies. Each opportunity, Rodrigo, we analyze it into detail to understand what the market offers to us. What is the alternative that better fits the generation of cash flow and with the life of the assets? And with that, we make a decision. And almost always is a mixture of banking market and capital market, but always our biggest leverage is the excellent financial health that we have had and that we continue having at ISA. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Carolina. There's also a question from Andres Duarte. If we could expect a similar effect in the taxes because the Brazil for the second semester. Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Andres, for your question. Carolina, please, could you help me answering that question? Thanks, Juan Emilio. Andres, a pleasure. Thanks a lot for your question. As I explained during the presentation, what we did this year, what we typically happens is that it's decreed the payment of the juros de capital propio in November, but then we anticipated to normalize for the whole year the effective tax rate, incorporated that juros de capital propio effect. What we accomplished with this was to have an stabilization month per month of the effective rate for the calculation of the tax. And we're going to continue doing this year after year at the beginning of each year. Thanks a lot. I hope this question was answered. Thanks a lot, Carolina. The second question has to do, and it comes from Mauricio Londoño, one of our shareholders, and he asked, what are the next opportunities for the road concession business? Diana, thanks a lot. And Mauricio, thanks a lot for your question. I would like to ask Eduardo Larrabe, our Deputy Chief Roads Concession Officer, to answer that question. Good morning. From the beginning, we have declared our intention to participate actively in the road business, in greenfield projects as well as brownfield projects. And that's why we are paying attention to evaluate all the investment opportunities in the region. Always following the principle of growing with profitability. In Colombia, we're in a situation that is finishing the first group of the 5G project, but we are paying attention to the second group. There's a call for Vince, which is under Caño Alegre, and we hope the star of 11 call for bids of the 5G. In the case of Chile, we are in the situation that the market is active because it's starting expiring. The first period of concession of the whole period that was awarded at the end of the 90s, and that's why we have a September of the road number 5, which is the structuring axis of Chile, where we are part of. And then we have another greenfield project, which is called Orbital. And then, together with other companies, we are applying to the Santiago Viña del Mar, which is a connection from the capital to Viña del Mar and Valparaíso, which are important ports. So that's the main activity, and we are always looking for new opportunities in the region because we believe that is important to be active and to adapt to the situation. I hope I have answered your question. Thanks, Eduardo. The next question comes from Juan José Muñoz from BTG, and he would like to know what are the main milestones that Juan Emilio would like to accomplish in the middle and long term. What would be the priorities under his administration? Also, if we could provide a color about the connection with the entering government and what's the vision of the new administration of ISA. And third, being the in Brazil, how do we think about the possible presidency of Lula da Silva? Thanks a lot, Diana, and thanks a lot, Juan Jose, for the three questions. So I would like to start answering with the first one that has to do with the milestones that I would like to reach in the middle and long term at ISA. In reality, what I found is a 2030 strategy that is robust, solid. I have studied it in detail, and I have understood the trends that inspired that strategy for 2030, and I believe that we have to do is to update that strategy because it was formulated 5 years ago. This semester, we're going to do that exercise of a strategic updating. And Patricia could give us a little bit more detail about what are those main milestones that we'd like to accomplish in 2030 to remind at the end of the end of my answer to the three questions. Regarding to the question about the government, we have had four meetings already, about 6 or 7 hours with a very wide team that covers everything related to the strategic business and different dimensions of interest, of risks, culture of ISA and its companies. Another in sustainability and investment and commitment in generating a social and environmental impact, which is positive, a very passionate meeting. Other in XM as an independent company operating off the market of the national energy system and the dispatch center. And finally, one concentrating financial matters. So it was a very rigorous connection, a transition, but there was a lot of interest in ISA for the way this general meeting happened. And about Brazil, the topic about Brazil, we had the experience of Lula experience and a Dilma government, and we had had the experience in Brazil and in other countries of operating with governments from different sides of different perspectives of the political spectrum, and we found that ISA has the resiliency and the flexibility and adaptability and agility to know how to navigate in these different type of governments without importing without mattering where they coming from. Specifically, we had Some important legal challenges regarding to a renewal of a contract in Brazil, and the country and institutionally demonstrated the willingness to negotiate and conciliate what happened, and we were satisfied with the result. So we are in a good mind with the possibility that one or any other political party would win in Brazil. Go ahead, Patricia. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Juan Emilio. I'm going to complement the answer regarding about the milestones that are in the strategy. And I would like to remind you that in former meetings we mentioned the goals. In 2022, we'll have some goals that were very challenging that we complied with. And there's a very important milestone for the 2023, which is to enter into the United States market. In that regard, I think we have announced the study that we were making with McKinsey, where we finished the first phase of characterization of the energy transmission industry in this country. And we answer, of course, the questions are what to play, where to play, and how to win. So we identify, of course, more than 200 position objectives of acquisition of alliances. And we are now in refining of that initial list to advance with those idea of entering into the United States market. That's a big important milestone. The rest of the milestones for the strategy has been announced. We are in a good advancement, complying with the EBITDA, the growth of the investments, of new investments, of also the investment. We are in a good position in environmental matters. By 2030, the idea is to have 11 billion tons of CLOs as a connection with Hawaii, but also with reduction of operations. And the materialization of a new energy business. All these goals, as Emilio mentioned, we're going to challenge them, and we're going to consider in that strategic exercise that we have with the board of directors what new potential we would have as of these joint work with the Copetrol, where we hope that we can challenge all these borders. The strategy is robust, the strategy is good, but we can challenge that strategy, and that's the idea in that dialogue that we're going to have with the board. Patricia, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Okay, so let's go to the next question. This question is by Andrew Marcati from Credit Corp and Ricardo from Bancolombia. They ask, what would be the max debt over EBITDA level to maintain the financial health and to be able to fund our CapEx? Thanks, Diana. Andrew and Ricardo, thanks a lot for the question. Carolina Botero is the person to answer this question. Go ahead, Carolina. Thanks, Juan Emilio, Andrew and Ricardo. Good morning, and thanks a lot for your question. Look, when we look at our long-term projections to comply with the strategy, and when we define the strategic objectives of investment by 2.5 trillion Colombian pesos since 2019 to 2030, our top is 4.5 times debt over EBITDA, which is the same that we have negotiated with that risk evaluator to have the same portion. But we always have a buffer that we call a financial flexibility. So we go to 4.1 times debt over EBITDA. Why? Because once those are the opportunities that you cannot say no, we can actually use that debt without passing that 4.5 debt over EBITDA. Or we cross that limit, that it's temporarily, and that in less than 1 year we get back to that limit of 4.5 times debt over EBITDA. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Carolina. Thanks, Carolina. A clarification. The investment plot is 12.5 trillion dollars. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm talking about dollars, not pesos. Okay. Finally, let's have this last question that has been asked by several of our attendees to this conference, and is the CapEx committed for the next 5 years has moved from 12.5 trillion, that was last data that we announced in the fourth quarter of 2021, to the 18.2 trillion in this quarter. Diana, thanks a lot, and thanks to people who are asking this question or similar questions. And I will thank Carolina Botero to explain why is this. Of course, Juan Emilio, Diana, and everybody who's asking this question, thanks a lot. That's an excellent question. And that is explained mainly because of the lots that we just been awarded in Brazil by ISA-CETEP that added 3.1 trillion Colombian pesos to these committed CapEx. Also, because of the increase of the reinforcements in ISA-CETEP for 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos, and because of higher investments in ISA Transelca and Internexa, close to the trillion Colombian pesos. Those are the three fundamental reasons that make their CapEx committed for the next 5 years moves from 12.7 to 18.2 trillion. Okay, we're running out of time. Thanks a lot to everybody for your attendance and for your interest in ISA. We'll talk again in future meetings. Have a happy day.